Today's reading is from Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit the next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." This beginning portion of our reading starts with them being perplexed about some terrible events that had happened. And I think that's natural for us. Whenever we see something terrible happen, we want to be able to come to terms with it. And one of the ways that people tend to come to terms with these things is to, you know, try to figure out, was this some evil act or was it something else? And apparently here, you know, it says that Pilate had mingled the blood of these people with their sacrifices, which definitely would be an evil act. So I think they bring this to Jesus to see what his response is going to be, to help them come to terms with this. And he, of course, turns this toward a spiritual application. And he asks this question, "Do you think that they were worse sinners than all the others because they suffered in this way?" Because this evil act came upon them, does that mean that they were worse than everybody else? I think that's a logical question because some people will draw that conclusion. Well, since this evil thing happened to them, then they must have been worse too. It must have been something because of the type of people they were. Of course, that's not true, but it is a thinking that some people go to. We don't have any scriptural references as to what happened here when these people were killed and their blood mingled. Some commentators do try to give an explanation to it. For example, Clark states that Josephus does not record this, but he does point out that the Galileans would fall under Herod's jurisdiction and that Pilate was an enemy of Herod's and was doing this, you know, as part of that animosity toward Herod. Perhaps it would be important to remember that evil men simply do evil things. Again, back to Jesus' questioning of them, though, in order to turn this toward a spiritual application, he says, "I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish." Don't take the "likewise" too literally to try to say that Jesus is telling them that if they don't repent, that this exact thing would happen to them. But he is saying that they would perish for not repenting. And that's where he's trying to turn the focus. Stop worrying about your life here. Stop worrying about what evil people do on this earth and worry about your condition before God. I think that's what he's trying to do there. Now, Jesus brings up another incident that had happened about 18 people that died because the tower in Siloam had fallen on them. And this is an instance that's a little more neutral. It's not an evil person perpetuating an evil act. But it is, nonetheless, people losing their lives. And so I think he adds this in order to give it that more neutral element so that that point really sinks in. He says, just because this happened to them, does that make them worse as well? You know, asking the same question he did with those Galileans. And he says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So Jesus' application is the same, whether they die because of the act of an evil person, whether they die because of a terrible happenstance that comes upon them. Everybody needs to be thinking about their position before God so they can be prepared for the inevitability of our death. You're not going to escape your death, no matter how it comes. Death comes to us all unless the Lord comes before that point. Then he gives this parable about the fig tree. And I guess because I planted some fruit trees this year, maybe this one stands out to me a little bit more. But I can identify a little bit with the owner. You know, coming back year after year looking for fruit, not finding any, and getting to the point where he says, look, it's been 3 years, I ought to see some fruit out of this. You know, I'm tired of wasting my effort and I'm tired of wasting my resources trying to get fruit out of it. But the vine dresser says, please give it one more year and let me do some work on it. Let me try to get the tree to produce fruit. And so he does, and that's the end of the parable. But what's the application for us? Well, God is continually giving us opportunities to repent and to bear fruit spiritually toward him. But his patience only goes so long. Sooner or later, we meet our end, that judgment comes. And are we ready for it? If we're not bearing fruit, we're not. We're going to be cut down. We're going to be thrown into the fire. That means that we will be rejected by God. Being a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus, is not about, am I wearing the title of Christian? Do I claim the title of Christian? Do I go to the right worship services on Sunday morning? No, it's about bearing fruit in our lives, fruits that match up with that repentance and that match up with a faith that seeks out God in order to do the things that he defines as righteous. That's what it's really about to be a disciple of Jesus. We need to be very careful that we do not have an initial repentance but bear no fruit after that point. What happened if that fig tree produced fruit 1 year, but stopped bearing fruit? And the next year, the owner comes back and he's looking for fruit, and it's not there. What's he eventually going to do? He's going to do the same thing he determined to do in the first place, which is cut it down and burn it up. It's not of any use. I think we can also realize that Jesus is asking us to look at these tragedies that happen around us, the loss of life around us, and don't spend so much time asking whether they deserved it, but instead use it as an opportunity to look at ourselves and ask, what do I deserve? What standing would I have before God today? Do I need to make changes? Am I okay? Am I going to be accepted by him? Am I bearing fruit? Tragedies like this should remind us about the brevity of life, the impending judgment that we will all face before God. And what really matters is my standing before God. And we've spent the last year concerned about the COVID pandemic, and we've thought constantly about those that have lost their lives. We've prayed for those that have gotten sick, that they might not lose their lives. We've seen some people that didn't get very sick at all. We've seen other people that got extremely sick and died. People that sometimes were healthy people. We struggle with that a little bit, but if we don't internalize it and apply it to ourselves, then we have not benefited by that tragedy in any way. We need to gain some benefit even in the face of these tragedies. We need to then continue in prayer that we might have God's patience as I work to change myself and to conform more to his will, that my mind might be renewed and that I can be found faithful in the end with him, that I can make sure that I'm bearing fruit each and every day while it is today, while I do have this opportunity, making the best use of the time that God has given to me. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.